from Lally PB. My roommates got into a fist fight, arguing about whether or not Gina Davis's character dropped the ball on purpose at the end of a league of their own. Which one of you was arguing that she didn't? I want to fight you myself.
So you come from the place of she did drop the ball on purpose.
There's no other place.
Okay. I'm just clarifying that that's your stance.
Apparently there is, because there's one person out there who would still
who believes that Lori Petty generated the force to jar the ball loose from a Gina Davis who was trying to...
Her character arc was completed. Yeah. She was trying to give her sister a win. It was the last best gift she could give her sister before they were separated again.
I'm sorry there. What if she choked? What if she choked?
Oh, we are in a fight now. I'm sorry. I thought this would be funnier. We can cut this.
Do you think she told her teammates that's what she did?
No.
Let me put it this way. If you were Gina Davis and you carried this...
That's different. That character doesn't have that level of egotism.
But how long could you carry this around before, like, eventually you're going to get into a different fight with your sister and you're going to say, oh, yeah, well, I fucking dropped that ball.
Oh, let me be clear. I'm not Gina Davis. I would hold this for maximum impact and bring it up, like, 20 years later.
Like, on their deathbed? Like, yeah. Whisper it?
Wow.
Or at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Oh, that'd be good. Oh, look, yeah, there's the ball I dropped on purpose. Yeah. Because I'm stronger than you and better at baseball.
Always was, always will be. Go Peaches.
The movie definitely wants you to believe she dropped the ball on purpose. Like, it's very clearly, like, that's the story they want.
Yes, I don't see how any other reading of the movie as a text is possible.
I would now pay $10,000 to hear Mad Dog Russo and Mike Francesa reunite to discuss this.
Oh, God.
I would.
No way! No way, Mikey!
No way! Those dames!
No way!
No way!
Those choked!
Those dizzy dames!
It completed a character arc, Mad Dog. Had to.
It was beautiful. What was the movie they watched together?
They watched The Horse Whisperer.
Yes. She had to do it.
The actual quote was, they're sitting there and Mad Dog goes, she had to do it. And very thoughtfully and gravely, Mike Francesa nods his head and goes, was the right call, dog.
Men are too emotional for film.
It's the best thing ever published in the New Yorker. It's really good about these two fucking morons.
Wait, this was in the New Yorker?
In the New Yorker. Yeah. It's sublime.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've never shown this to you. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
And so when I read it, I had to put it down because I was crying laughing for 5 minutes straight.
It's really quite funny. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But yeah, just the two of them discussing League of Their Own. They're like, Lori Petty. Yeah, she's not a five-tool player. Not a five-tool player.
But what a dame.
I mean, she's scrappy. I'll give her that.
That Rosie O'Donnell, though.
All those curves and me with no breaks.
The Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, joined by my co-host, Jason Kirk. Hello, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How's your week going, buddy?
Oh, it's going pretty good so far. A little bit of gray sky out here, but we're persevering. It's not quite hoodie weather. Looks like it. Doesn't feel like it, though. Mm. Don't be fooled.
Yeah, I think we got into false fall.
No,
right?
We've been through Coward's Fall.
Coward's Fall.
And now we are in Summer 3.0.
Summer 3.0.
It was kind of it was like shitty weather. Like, should I put on a hoodie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were making a Jersey hoodie combination. Like, if we had one of those thin hoodies made of Jersey material.
I like those. The thin hoodie? The real, real thin hoodie? That's the perfect
garment. I wish that they were more popular, like, nationally, because really that would be all we needed here.
Shoodie season. I like it. The other voice you are hearing is our perpetual guest host, Holly Anderson.
I haven't been a guest for months. Why are you erasing me?
I'm sorry.
Just like in real life.
Just like in real life. Holly Anderson. Hi, Holly. How are you?
I was better a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. But then the podcast started.
Now I'm literally tethered to you by metal cords.
Tethered by metal cords. Not tethered to me by metal cords, but by bonds of emotion too strong to break. Counselor Ryan Nanny.
Didn't we almost have it
all? I would actually prefer to be called guest host because I feel it gives me a level of legal distance that might come in handy down the
plausible
road.
Plausible deniability.
No, you're in this.
We've been through this. You're a lawyer, so everything we say here is protected.
That's right. Including the listeners. The listeners, everything that they're saying back to us in their cars, in their homes, wherever they're listening to this, out in the wilderness, which,
listener,
who knows?
Listeners, after you end this podcast, which could be right now, who's to say?
Someone could end this podcast.
I want you to Google crime fraud exception. That's it.
Ooh.
It's, again, you are your own attorney. Remember, that's the most powerful attorney you have, yourself. Don't say anything. Look up crime fraud exception.
Do your own research.
Ryan, have you or anyone you loved been hit or harassed or damaged by a pedal-based form of entertainment and bar in Nashville?
No. And
are there pedal tavern lawyers?
I'm telling him this is a sideline. You need to be a pedal tavern lawyer.
Yeah, it beats being a blogger.
Am I working for the pedal taverns or am I working for those accosted?
You could
by
chase
them?
An ambulance pretty easily if it was a pedal tavern.
If it was pedal,
you were making.
Yeah.
I think you're making your own rain by establishing two law firms, bankrolling the other one, and ginning up an entire economy of pedal tavern-related lawsuits.
So one is pedal prosecution and one is pedal crime defense?
Yes.
I mean, the city recently filed a lawsuit to shut down the hot tub pedal tavern. I don't think that one's a pedal tavern, but it is a mobile hot tub.
Wait, are you trying to tell me somebody was running an unlicensed mobile hot tub?
Yeah, hot tub.
I believe
machine.
That's right. Yeah, I believe.
Oh,
that is
my
right.
God.
I'm sorry. I want to stop. Holly, did you say hot tub crime machine?
I did. Thank you.
I love you and I cherish you.
Thank you.
From three.
Is Nashville just like lazy Vegas? Like just
yes!
sit and wait and just sit and wait
yes!
and this
yeah.
like half-assed debauchery will roll past you and you can climb on.
Yeah,
can I
mean
tell you my favorite yeah. fact that's like 10 years old.
Sure.
Although I'm sure it's still true. Do you know where the top three highest concentration like where the like in the world the top three highest concentrations of either like physical weddings chapels or weddings performed per year are?
Hmm.
One is Vegas, which you can probably guess. Two is Istanbul, or at least it was at the time. Three is Gatlinburg.
Huh.
So the idea that I have in mind is that you converge from wherever you are in the Midwest on Nashville for your bachelor party, and then you just continue marauding east like a parade of locusts that has monogram decals in your back window.
Basically, can I tell you a little bit about the hot tub?
I want to hear nothing but...
Hold all my calls while you do this.
Okay, I'm gonna summarize it as best I can. There is one of the traveling bachelor/bachelorette bacchanalia devices is called Music City Party Tub.
Mm-hmm. Dudes do this? I thought this was a ladies-only product.
I think some of these are like dudes and ladies.
Do they have seat belts on the ones for dudes? I have concerns.
I don't know, actually.
I just want to know how many dudes rented it, and they were just like, all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, so we got eight dudes in a hot tub. This is nowhere near as entertaining as we wanted it to be.
Oh, disagree.
So, the city's lawsuit alleges that Music City Party Tub, just a wonderful phrase to say, is operating illegally without a public swimming pool permit, but it also is not registered with the state and does not have a business license. And basically what they say happened is in 2019, the proprietor of this submitted, like was told by the health department, like, all right, submit some design plans for your mobile hot tub, apply for this permit, whatever. They had somebody go and inspect the trailer that has a hot tub on it. and give, and they gave him a list of things that had to be done before they would give him a permit. And then he just never showed up. He never came back, and he just started rolling around town in his hot tub, in his mobile hot tub.
They can't catch him? They can't find him?
No, well, we've clearly discovered a Nashville, Philly portal.
We have.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just slips back to Pennsylvania as soon as he turns the corner.
Here's the key difference. In Philly, they would just say, this is illegal, and that's why I like it. This guy claims that his hot tub is 50 gallons short of the minimum capacity for a public pool.
That sounds like an insult that you would whisper to somebody at, like, a family reunion.
He's 50 gallons short.
He's about 50 gallons short of a hot tub, and he's going bald, too. Bless his heart.
But the city is like, that requirement doesn't, that exemption doesn't exist. You just made it up.
Well, what is the, like, how big is a swimming pool?
What is, how big? I think it has to do more with, like, how you're using something versus how big it is.
But who swims in a hot tub?
Isn't this legislated?
Kids?
Okay, I have a serious question.
Yeah.
Doesn't this fall under the same general umbrella of legislating intent that gets us into philosophical hot water with legislating hate crimes?
No pun intended.
Because ultimately, what you're legislating here is intent, right?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess it is about, like, what is the intended use of your. So you're saying it would be perfectly fine if this gentleman had Music City Party Tub, but it was just for him. And because he has decided to make it a business, he has crossed the line.
Wait!
It's not a swimming pool. It's a wet chair.
Yeah, what if it was just like, hey, I have a private club I drive around, and I sell memberships to my friends to sit in
I
my
have
wet
a chair.
All right, does it matter? Hold on.
Trademark, by
hold
the way,
on.
Trademark.
Does
chair.
It
trademark.
Matter? Does it matter that he has a hashtag on the back of the the vehicle that says Splashville?
No.
Anybody could have put that there.
Yeah.
Okay. That so you
can't he just argue, this is my bus and it has rained?
Of all the places to argue for the existence of rogue bands of ladies wandering around town with their cricket machines just plastering decals on everything, Nashville's the strongest case.
Splashville, by the way, it's an old family name. We're French. Splashville.
I don't see what's wrong with having a very leaky bus.
But, I mean, I want to be clear. This is not... He didn't just, like, put a tarp up in some ways to... Like, it's a literal hot tub.
So? And then it was filled with rain. It's not his fault.
What if...
Okay.
What if we turn off the heat on the thing, fill it with fish, give everyone hooks and lures and rods, and we turn it into a floating fishing pond, a.k.a., like, the livest well imaginable?
I like that we've come back to live wells where there should not be live wells, like three episodes in a row.
Sure.
I love this energy.
What could go wrong, by the way, with getting a bunch of idiots who would party in Nashville on a Friday night hammered and handing them hooks they can send flying through the air?
What if we use the little magnet fish and give them
that's
the little
cute.
Magnet fish?
Yeah.
No one can be harmed.
And additional potential of electrocution, which I like.
What if we go the other way and give everyone spear guns?
Harpoon guns.
Yeah. Hey, we're going harpooning for my bachelor party.
Oh.
It's going to be awesome. 5 hours
George
later.
Carlin said, don't ever fight a crying woman with a harpoon gun entering a sports bar. And we're about to test that theory.
That's the last time you do that to me, Randy, you son of a bitch.
Ryan,
anyway,
you've given us a lot to think about.
Hey, you're welcome. You know, Nashville, they say they're business friendly, but then they tell you that you got to get a license for your hot tub on a truck. And it's like, show me in the Constitution. Show me in the Commerce Clause. It ain't there. Hot tub is not in the Constitution. I looked
they
frequently.
Call it Interstate Commerce Clause for a reason. This is Broadway.
Right. This is the inner tube. Commerce Clause.
Nailed it. God, I hope that exists.
This is like you brought so much to the show this week, Ryan, because this wasn't even what you wanted to talk about to start the show. You have an existential issue.
Yeah, I'm kind of. That wasn't the existential
issue. No, this isn't the existential.
I just
no.
assumed this was it. Okay.
No, my existence is perfectly fine outside of Nashville Party Pool. So I tweeted a pointless tweet. That's not the important thing. I said that I thought the bridesmaid dresses in the Fansville commercial where they have the wedding, I was like, I think those actually look very nice. I think, like, that's of bridesmaid dresses I have seen, like, it's a pretty nice color, looks good on people, looks good on, like, a wide range of people.
There's no weird silhouettes.
Right, right. I'm like, I think that, you know, throw away meaningless, whatever. And then Dr. Pepper responded to me and said, if it was up to us, that'd be the color of the wedding dress.
Are they calling Natalie a tramp?
Sure, I mean, that, great question.
Natalie is a tramp, but they were overruled by some kind of power over Dr. Pepper?
Right. Who has more power than Dr. Pepper?
That's my question.
So that's where I'm really getting tripped up, because it's like, it is up to Dr. Like, unless Dr. Pepper is telling us that Fansville is a simulation spun out of their control where they cannot dictate
with our help,
right? And I'm like,
I mean, this was basically our we basically manifested Fansville lore into the real world on our own.
But so who controls it now?
So you have, like, it's kind of a Matrix situation, right, where they're trying to define the Neo who can reset the whole thing. The color of the dress is, it's like the color of a Dr. Pepper can. It's that dark red, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And on the wedding dress also, she does have the jersey stripes down the side. The very nice accent.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is, if it were up to them, that color would be on the bridal dress entire.
That appears to be the case, yeah.
But it's, like, not up to them.
Who is it up to?
Well, it could have, I mean, why wouldn't it just be up to her? She said, no, Dr. Pepper, I do my own research. I don't listen to doctors.
But see, even in that...
So now you're
this woman within the Dr. Pepper universe, whom we love, she's our favorite character, you're saying that she now has free will.
Right.
Well, of course, they all did, all along.
You're saying everyone in the Dr. Pepper universe has free will and are of making these choices of their own volition?
Did we think they were animatronics all along, controlled via Dr. Pepper's mind machines?
Listen, this is going to make me sound really stupid, but I thought they were actors. Until now.
No. They do these performances live 100 times per Saturday, over and over.
Eddie George actually is animatronic, though.
There really is a Stephen King story that lines up almost exactly with this, and it's called You Know They Got a Hell of a Band.
This is terrifying.
It's about literal rock and roll heaven being a tourist trap town on a lonesome highway that you get lost on, and all the dead rock and rollers are trapped there performing forever.
What I see here is Dr. Pepper wanted her dress to be a certain color, and she rejected the patriarchy. She elected the dress that she wanted.
That's actually a very canny feminist inversion of insisting upon the color so associated, with purity and all of the, you know, all of the baggage that has come with that throughout the centuries.
So maybe she's like, I'm definitely not a virgin, but I will wear this dress. Fuck you.
Well, and also it has red accents. Like, that clearly indicates I am my own person. This might have been a dress inherited from a grandmother or something, but it hasn't.
So who decided?
No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. Her grandmother's dress was also football themed because this is Fansville.
So she also decided to have Joe Theismann at her calling her wedding?
Yes, so that he could be tackled. Just wisdom across the board by her.
Right.
Yeah.
So what does Dr. Pepper control at this point?
I think is that the overall story? Dr. Pepper's losing control?
Has Fansville broken contain?
Do they control the portal through which Fansville now... Like, basically, do they just control the windows?
Did the transfer portal appearing in Fansville work a little too well?
Are there immutable laws of the fans? Like, there's the lysine contingency in Jurassic Park where the dinosaurs have to be given lysine or they will die. Is Dr. Pepper the lysine? I feel so bad that Felder's not here right now. Is Dr. Pepper the lysine of the Fansville human population?
God, you know, I would know too.
Listener out there, if you are interested in seeing the first work of fiction to develop a fully functioning rule for physical active transfer portals that work their way in and out of a college football themed universe.
Oh,
Sinful7.com. Thank you. It was a year ago. It's okay. It's okay. A year and a half ago. It's okay.
Still good, far as I can tell.
Still good. Still works.
Dr. Pepper doesn't control that either.
There's no Dr. Pepper in it because they couldn't afford it.
The color of the cover suggests that it's used within the extended universe, doesn't it?
That's true.
Makes you think.
Anyway, Dr. Pepper, come throw us some fucking sponsorship money, you cowards.
Seriously, the amount of emotional labor that we have thrown this sentient soda brand of, again, our own free will.
Actually, I'm going to bypass the fake powers at Dr. Pepper.
Just like the brat.
The puppet government at Dr. Pepper.
User Bendemouth has a suggestion for our slogan for when Dr. Pepper picks up a sponsorship of this show, which is 23 flavors and about 25 snakes.
24 flavors of snake.
Maybe.
Hey, you know what, Jason? That sounds like you're doing a little bit of podcast business.
Yeah.
What's that sound?
Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. It's a business. Podcast business. With the business. It's the stuff we do to make money to feed our dogs and cats and stuff. And yeah. I'll get to a second verse.
Home field apparel.
They got shirts with dogs and cats and stuff.
So many dogs and cats.
They got a lot. As they've noted, dogs and cats are very popular shirts. Their number two shirt of Big News Saturday was a dog playing golf. Number one was also an animal, if I recall correctly. Alligators perform very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We also, our Tampa listeners got very upset at me in particular last week because I did not acknowledge that USF, despite not being part of Big News Saturday, is now part of the home field family. So if you want to get a very top heavy bull standing on its two back legs, looking like it's ready to like fight and hug you, the traditional form of Tampa greeting, you can get that now.
Oh. Fight hug.
Yeah. Go Golden Brahmins.
It is a sick logo. Like that 90s USF logo is heat. That's good.
I like the rhombus bank logo one. Like the the very bank logo is the only way I can describe it.
That is a very Tampa thing. That USF, they're like, what does our logo look like? And you're like, a really tough, nasty bank.
Dirty bank.
Dirty bank. It's a very
drugs
very
bank
Florida thing. It is the most comfortable dirty bank shirt you will ever wear.
This bank you can still smoke in. Welcome to 2021.
Why Fight are you bank. Coming up with awesome business? You have no license for your bank you can smoke in, Ryan. I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
And for
this
some reason, it's like a tractor I roll around Nashville. Welcome to smoking bank.
Pedal bank. Hot tub bank.
We got wet money and cigarettes.
We got wet crypto.
Hot tub dimes machine.
You look like you had a bad. You look like you had a bad day at the beach, brother.
Do you need to lay low somewhere? Come to Tampa Smoking Bay.
Lay in the back of the hot tub. Your wanted stars will go down so quickly. Cops they can't see you underwater. If it's warm.
It's got healing properties. You know who can't see in the hot tub? Predator. Predator has no idea where you are.
Predator's like, damn it, he disappeared, and he also appears to be so relaxed. Mm-hmm. I'm detecting immense relaxation and invisibility.
Yeah. Predator just wanted to go to Jason Aldean's bar, but instead he fuck with him.
Do it! Buy me a yard of beer! Buy me a huge cartoonist drink!
Holly's physical revulsion to this is the correct response.
No, it's just it's so loud. He's in my monitor. Just do the tiny donkeys thing again.
Tiny donkeys in the hot tub with me! The wet chair and my tiny donkeys.
Wet donkeys.
My tiny donk and the tiny donkeys.
I would, listen, I'm not that interested in Lower Broad. I would go down to Broadway for Arnold Schwarzenegger's Tiny Donkey Honky Tonk.
Tiny Donkey Tonk.
Can we take an intermission? I need to cry. I need to cry because this is so beautiful.
This isn't even what the show is about today.
No, home field no. apparel.
Home field apparel. Yeah, home, oh, yeah. You use offer code FULLCAST to get 20% off your first order.
That's right.
And maybe Honky Tonk Tiny Donkey will make its appearance there at some point.
Because I'm a Donkey Tonk man, and I don't know when to stop. Love to hear the little sound of their hooves when they go clip clops.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Didn't think I'd like when I started this day. I didn't think I'd end up singing Dwight Yoakam and Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice.
Shout out to Colorado School of Mines, the original Donkey Tonk school.
You know what you could put into the jukebox at Arnold's Tiny Donkey Honky Tonk?
Acorns.
That's right, money. You can put money.
Your retirement account.
Your whole retirement account.
Put the entire retirement account into it.
Why retire in a retirement home when you can retire in Arnold's roving donkey hot tub? Acorns.com.
By Joe D. Messina 58,000 times and leave.
/fullcast. Where if you go to the thing and download the thing, you get $5.
She thinks
you
my donkey's sexy.
A few seconds earlier with those $5, plus the money you add to those $5 that then multiplies via market magic.
You know, Acorns.com. With the demise of the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl, we can use our retirement accounts to found our own line of tractors and lawn equipment, John Donk. They're crimson.
For wide-hipped men.
Okay. According to the app, I will still be working at age 83, but I have a feeling that we're whittling it down.
That's right.
On the mower.
Yeah,
honestly.
I will rest my bones on the mower in the donkey tub that is traveling throughout Nashville while I bank.
I mean, Acorns also hasn't taken into account the money you're going to see from your competing hot tub pool business, so...
Yeah, or from your competing children who can both have their own early start accounts under the early plan. Let me give you the score this week. Oh, we've had some motion, y'all. Okay, because as you're familiar, my younger son has been embezzling from his account and making his own investments. Right now, we are down to the lowest margin yet.
Wow.
Yeah, older son.
The clash is coming.
The law-abiding one.
The reckoning.
Is catching up. Now, this means one of two things has happened. One, either my younger son is siphoning off money from his account slowly, like a gas leak, so that I won't notice it until it's too late. Or the older son has figured out how to do crimes now and is catching up that way. Because the margin is now $50.
Am I wrong in saying he would tell you if he had figured out how to do crime?
I'm committing crimes!
1,000%
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's just rule that one out.
Unless he doesn't know it's a crime.
Yeah. Unless I put down my headphones today and go over and he immediately says, "Hey, Dad, I'm committing crimes." He might do that.
He does crave approval. He's at that age.
Yeah, he would. And I'd approve.
I love this sequel to Hell or High Water.
Yes. It's my favorite part of the Acorns experience. My children learning the joy of investing and, on the side, financial crimes.
If you're going to be a real investor, you have to commit some kind of financial crime.
All finance is crime.
Yeah.
All finance is crime.
Acorns.
All property is theft. We love our sponsors.
Not all crime is finance.
But not all theft is property.
But all crime is fun.
That's true.
All hot tubs are technically wet naps, but not all wet naps are hot tubs.
Oh, man, you could take a wet nap in there.
See?
This is how Spencer dies. This is 100% how Spencer took a nap in the Nashville hot tub and he drowned.
I just ate ribs. What do I do? Hot tub.
You are the only adult I know who sleeps like on their stomach as though they have been dropped into their crib.
Yeah.
This could happen. You could drown in very shallow water.
You know, every now and then there'll be a story out of Arizona where they're like, two retirees were found dead in their hot tub. It turns out that they'd each had like 9 drinks and yep. they'd smoked a bunch of weed and taken a bunch of pills. And they were like, hey, let's go chill in the hot
that
tub.
That sounds fantastic.
That never sounds like a tragedy to me. I'm always like, well, you got to go. How are you feeling? Awesome.
Super chill. Super chill.
Super chill. How did you die? In my badass hot tub? That'd be fantastic.
I mean, if the answer to how did you die is, I don't know, then how bad could it have been?
Yeah, that's true. No, man, I woke up. And somebody's like, yeah, you died in a hot tub. And I was like,
next
awesome.
Thing I know, I was out of there.
How did you go? Torn to pieces by wolves. Man, that sucked. How did you die? I died in a hot tub drunk off my ass.
Abe Lincoln would have much rather died in a hot tub. You kidding me?
I don't know. He's a really tall guy. His whole upper torso would be pretty cold, I feel.
It's got to be a big hot tub. He's got to slouch.
He's got to lay down in the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although the humor of looking up into the balcony and going, oh no, he stayed in the hot tub suite too long.
Oh no, he wrinkled to death.
The president is dead.
John Wilkes Booth standing there with a gun. You stay in that hot tub.
The president has disintegrated.
Yeah.
Six Semper Hot Tubus.
This is the White House Down sequel that we deserve. Where Olympus
White House
has
drown.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
The president's being held in a hot tub.
The
he's
president
very
is so
he's having a good time.
The president is soggy.
It has the little neon lights that you can change the colors and everything. It's transfixed.
We're invoking the 25th Amendment because the president's in a hot tub and he's had 4 beers.
He's too chill. He's too chill to lead.
Yeah. Man, that's a pretty good idea. Like before it's, you know, before you go into the room where it's like, do we do a war or not? Let mm-hmm. the president get a good soak in and have a few beers and then he gets to decide whether we're going to do
Jack
the war.
Jack Bauer bursts through the door and shoots him in the chest.
If the idea of the job being terrible doesn't dissuade you enough from wanting to be president, think about like 4 straight years in which you cannot in good conscience pop an edible before bed.
That is, I will say, the designated survivor, not the television show, but the actual person at the State of the Union,
but
they should get to...
But on the television show...
I think the designated survivor, and we should like have a camera, like a picture-in-picture during the State of the Union, they should get to be like in a chill-out tent or a hot tub or something like that, because if things go super wrong and they have to lead the country, we do want them in a chill state of mind.
You want them well-rested. Right. A sensory deprivation tank?
Yeah.
You want the camera to cut to them, and they're kind of unfazed. Like,
right.
Ready to lead.
Wait a second.
Sure.
Okay, I realize I'm introducing more water to a scenario that, if anything, calls for drier conditions, but, man, how much better would it be if the State of the Union was... So there's a dais up at the front, right? Dunk tank.
Mmm. Yeah.
I'm feeling it.
Only dunk tank with dodgeball elements. Like, if the president catches your softball, he can throw it back.
Sure.
Joe Wilson, looking at you.
I'm still stuck on the notion of the lone survivor being on the stationary bike.
Designated
like
survivor. Lone survivor is a different television show.
I'm sorry. The lone survivor being on the exercise bike like the backup QB. Like, yeah, here he goes. Ready to come in.
Holding the clipboard.
He's like,
holding
the clipboard. There's a net in front of him as he signs.
he's warming up. Just get
wearing a ball
loose.
Cap. He's got a ball cap he has to remove. He or she has to remove.
It's like, are you at a Fairfield Inn? Yeah, the buffet here is great.
He sits in on every meeting. He's there. He's there. He's the first guy in the facility, last out. Do we have any further podcast business that you would like to mention?
Let's,
hey, we have another show? We have another show?
Yeah.
We do!
In case anyone is still trying to catch up on things this season, if you're looking for the second episode, the weekend recap episode, we still do it. It's on a different feed. Fullcast After Dark is the name of the feed. It also goes up on the Lebatard and Friends account because we are friends of Lebatard officially as of a month-ish ago.
I like that we also have given you 2 options for how to listen to this show. One, you can listen to it when it gets posted as a podcast where the audio is like pretty good, pretty normal. and you just sort of hear it start normally and end normally. These are all in, you know, relative fullcast terms. Or you can listen to it at Twitter Spaces at like 12:30 in the morning when half our phones don't work and we're not sure when the show has started and things weirdly echo and the transcript says Jason is just saying mom over and over again. So you have like two different, you can have like, you know, vanilla ice cream, or you can have ice cream with rocks in it.
You can have ice cream that is like still not made yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have milk, just hot milk.
Hot tub of milk. That's what we give you every midnight Eastern Saturday on Twitter.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
So it has been, jokes have been made before about how I literally went to school for this, for performing arts, and audio is obviously my weak spot. And even I, with my look, Tennessee is not a great school, but my program is a good program, and I can't fix the audio consistently. You know, Serber is a professional and the better than any of us, and the Haint has bested him at times. The Haint is in the process of besting our new engineer from Meadowlark. I got a confession to make. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night when I was ruminating over the bumpy start we had logging into Twitter Spaces, because one of the things exacerbating the current conditions on the Saturday night show is that Twitter Spaces is itself kind of a mess right now. And that's per Twitter's own engineers. They're like, yeah, we're kind of trying this thing. We have a very shared energy with them, which is, I think, one thing that makes the show really work. They're like, hey, we don't know if this is going to work at all. Why don't you try this? And it's almost impossible to get all of us onto the broadcast at the same time to start the show at the same time. For the first couple weeks, like, mine wouldn't turn on at all. You know, Spencer and I have this weird echo that's following us around. And our listeners have taken it in great stride, because we have click trained y'all through much, much worse over the years. And they kind of reveled in being around for the sound check on Saturday night. And about 2 hours after we all logged out for the night, I sat bolt upright and realized that we all could have just muted our phones until we were all in the Twitter space.
We're going to forget on Saturday. You know that.
Oh,
we're
going to
forget.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay. And if I remember, I have no intent of reminding anyone.
Okay.
I believe that concludes podcast business.
On to the episode.
I'm going to lead us into this. Yeah, it's a good time to start this episode. 44 minutes into. Server, what are we at? 44? All right, 44 minutes.
Yeah, 44. All right. Sorry, microphones don't work. I am a professional at audio.
Yeah, you sound like it.
It's a lean 44, though.
Uh-huh. Server was better at his job, I maintain, before he joined up with us idiots. So
I think Server is playing down to his opponent, and I get it. I respect.
Oh, that's listen. He's reserving his strength. He is like, he is Roger Federer letting some scrub in round one of Wimbledon take a set off him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a rebuilding.
6-4, 3-6, 6-1, 6-1. That's still a win. You're still moving on. It's fine. Yeah.
So I have, for our listening pleasure, queued up a number of scenarios from a Twitter prompt we threw out this week, which is: what is the dumbest thing you have ever been in or witnessed a physical fight over? Now, we set some parameters that we thought were very clear, and as usual, most of you blew by these. Yes, they had to be a physical fight. Yes, it had to be you, not something you heard about. We would also accept fights that you saw. And no, that's about it. That's all our parameters. So many of our disaster episodes involve fisticuffs, but after watching again for the umpteenth time the video of the guy pulling a knife on the other guy as they argued over whether or not Glinda was a witch in The Wizard of Oz, we decided to take this one to the people. Spencer, what's the dumbest thing that you have ever physically fought over or witnessed someone fighting over?
I got into a fight with a good friend of mine in college because I said the following words: please stop reading your journal to me.
Oh, God.
He was reading his journal out loud to me. He said, please stop reading your journal to me. And at that point, we began to fight violently. Yes. Yes, it was.
So, like,
we're going to have to bleep that out.
Sorry.
So your opponent insisted on continuing to read, or?
It was very much a, you have offended my honor by stating that you have crippling ADHD and can no longer take me reading my journal out loud to you.
It's a journal because it's for you, man. I cannot imagine anything worse.
And then we got into a fight.
That's basically just long form Twitter.
How'd the fight go?
I won.
Wes is pretty small.
I won. That's the problem. Is that I was wearing him like a backpack and slamming him into the door behind me.
Mm-hmm. And did he surrender and agree to terms? Well,
that's very Jason Bourne of you. Yeah.
No, it was very like I discovered, that was when I discovered my fighting style, which was use anything in the room and hit people with it.
Yeah. I'm not thump against it.
I'm not good at fighting.
No, but it's
but I'm
those.
Very creative. Mm. Very creative. I would have hit him with a phone book if we'd had one, right? I would have done the Bourne thing.
Oh, I've never gotten to do that. That's a dream still.
It's not too late. Hey, next live show, I think we should let's do this. Let's combine two things. If we hit a certain charity bowl goal, mm-hmm. Holly gets to hit Spencer with a phone book, at a live show.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say a member of the winning fan base gets to fight Spencer.
Ooh.
I don't like that because Michigan has many students. Michigan has produced many alumni.
They know
there
a lot of things
very,
about war,
very,
though.
Very Midwestern.
They've read about a lot of duels.
Yeah.
The dumbest fight I have ever witnessed in person was, I'm going to have to obfuscate some details here because of the governmental and religious jobs a couple of the people involved in this brawl now hold. But one of my very good friends, speaking of Metal Arc, this is not that Poppy, but shout out to Poppy, one of my very best friends at college, who became involved in a lengthy bout of fisticuffs over whether or not a given deer, was in fact a 10-point buck. For those of you who aren't familiar with deer hunting, you can determine whether or not something is a 10-point buck by counting the amount of points on its antlers. The deer in question was dead and right in front of us, and this is an argument that could have been solved by counting to 10. It was like my own real-life version, though I didn't know it yet, of John Boyce's Dumbest Boy Alive.
Folks, if you have a hard time counting bucks, acorns.com.
Wow. In 2003... some friends and I went to the Miami, Florida game in Miami. Florida blew a 22, 23 point lead in the second half. Mm-hmm. We drove home that night, all feeling terrible through the night. And in the morning, two of my friends fought in the parking lot on campus at Florida. And the subject was, which one was more mature? That's it. I have no nuance to the story. There are no other levels. They were just fighting about which one of them was more mature.
Yes.
The only fight I can remember being in since middle school, I don't remember why it happened. I just remember me and the homies did a lot of amateur MMA, so like we thought we were really good at fighting. And we'd also watched a lot of pro wrestling. I think I've talked about it on here. I don't know. We've done this podcast for about 50 years, but in the back room at Publix, this big fella whose last name was Velarde came charging at me like a damn rhino. So I hooked his head and hit him with the DDT on the cement. He outweighed me by like 70 pounds, but it was a very easy fight to win.
What
and everyone thought I was
physics.
A badass, but all I did was fall over. Yeah, all I did was, okay, you want to go that way? Let's go. We are both going the way you were going, which is your face into the ground. And like his big old like fucking buzz cut, you know, like the, what I forget the name, crew cut. Yeah. His big old crew cut skull just bonk, just a satisfying thump. And then he pops up and goes back to work. It was like I fixed his brain or something.
Huh.
I don't know what we were fighting about.
You gave him a
hard
reboot.
Yeah, you reset him.
Just reset Velarde. Yeah.
Dude. I want to go ahead and rephrase this, though, because you just, like, poor mouthed yourself there. You gave someone a DDT on the concrete floor in the back
unplanned,
of a Publix.
On
unplanned.
On the spur of the moment.
Spur
of
the moment.
Then we just popped up, like, okay, I got aisle 7, and, you know, back to work.
Dude, you sold the hell out of that. That's like that's like WrestleMania.
He sold
right
it.
In shit.
He was
he did sell it, yeah. But you Arn Anderson'd him. That's spectacular.
It worked.
I love it. All right, we're going to turn now to the readers. I have collected a number of them, not to trigger any, not to trigger any fans involved in the Alabama A&M or Ole Miss Arkansas game, but I'm going to ask all of you to pick six. And we are going to lead off with, I'm saving that one for last. I'm going to lead off with Looter Suco. With Reader Suco, I just had a small stroke, at It's BP, though, on Twitter. I really like this one because of the ending. And also because I feel like there's some missing information that I would like us to just fill in. I don't want it from the reader. At a night game tailgate, my friend threw a bowl of beanie weenies on the ground and started an epic dozen of 18-year-old versus 50-year-olds brawl that the wives had to break up. Was fun, though.
Was fun.
Did he dishonor the beanie weenies? Was that the problem? Or were the beanie weenies the gauntlet thrown down to signal that he was not going to let some previous insult pass?
I think it's the gauntlet. That, to me, is more entertaining. It's like, no! This, no further! The beanie weenies drop here!
Did the wives think it was fun? Do wives like breaking up fights?
They had to break it up, so I'm guessing no. Although, if one of them was the architect of the original beanie weenies, maybe, perhaps they started something that they did not feel like finishing for such a lengthy amount of evening.
I would like, my first one that I would like to discuss here is from at Scooter 80. At a frat party, my roommate was snooping around and pulled a catering pan out of their fridge containing the prior day's sliced beef, the kind where the once liquefied fat has congealed. He ate that filth cold, and I gave him so much shit, he finally had to punch me in the face.
I misread this one initially, and I thought that the reader was so angry at his roommate for eating this that he punched him, like, out of principle.
Right. I have to.
Right. So this is not really...
Like, this is an honor thing.
This is not really a fight over a subject so much as it is driving another person.
I mean, it's really, all fights are about, you know, defending your shitty choices on one level or another, right?
I get this, though, because yeah. I am the guy who would give him so much shit that I'd get punched. I am that person.
Are like, you also the guy who would eat the old beef?
Yes.
Yeah, I am also that person.
How will you escape his dungeon?
I'm the duality of man.
Two statues
right
guard a door. One only eats old beef. The other only punches.
Two wolves are inside you.
Only one of them is hungry. Only one of them is hungry. The other one is full but doesn't feel good.
One of them wishes it could have eaten the old beef.
You know, God damn it, Daddy. All that talk about the wolf you feed and not that talk about what you feed the wolf.
I
could have used that information.
I just know there's just one moment where the guy's just been hit and the other guy's standing there with the, like, tin of beef in his hand, right? And, like, shit
no, it's
all
a
over.
No, catering pan. This is like aluminum.
Yeah.
Right.
So I see him holding it like
Bonk.
This, right? And, yeah. And he's sitting there just... And he's going like, why did you just let me eat my beef?
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. When you have been punched by somebody who just ate a catering tray of old beef,
powerful.
You can't punch them because the likelihood that they will throw old beef up onto you is very high.
Oh,
well, you're aiming for just the nose. You cannot no body shots here because
I think like the delicate balance is such that any contact with their body would immediately...
Like, if you even kicked him in the shins hard enough,
yes,
startle
him. I think if he stubbed his toe, he would throw up old beef everywhere.
This is diabolical, because not only is he the physical aggressor in this situation, he's turned himself into a proximity mine.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of saw scenario did we just create?
You've just eaten a bunch of old beef. You are on a trampoline, and I will begin bouncing. You
and
must
now
hold
you're
the beef
invincible.
In.
Wait, was that supposed to be Saw?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
I think the strategy is to quickly encircle the person. They can't turn very fast. They're full of old beef.
That's true.
And then you go for the headlock, and you know, they're already sleepy because they're full of old beef.
Yeah.
You just sort of guide them to the ground, and okay, sleep it off.
You tranked yourself. Congratulations.
I feel like I've learned a lot today already.
He's hurt, Mike. He's full of old beef. This fight's over.
Okay, I will take one that I love because it's short but sweet. This is from Wild West WX on Twitter. Two of my high school buddies got in a fist fight over a nuance in hacky sack rules.
I was not aware that fist fights and hacky sack protocol junkies were an overlapping Venn diagram of any sort.
Well, Robert's Rules of Hacky Sack is obviously...
Robbie's Rules.
J-Rob's Rules of Hacky Sack.
Brody. Brody Naismith.
Like, I don't... Isn't the whole point of Hacky Sack that you're going to do something vaguely physical that is in no way competitive or at all violent? Like, Hacky Sack is the least violent physical activity you can do.
Right,
that was my confusion as well.
but
I mean, I've seen a lot of taking pride in the in a combo streak chain, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But what are the, like, if I ask the three of you, what are the rules of hacky sack?
Be chill.
I thought it was like keep it off the ground.
Sure.
There are numerous.
Like, it's like the kids with a balloon, right?
Keep it.
There are numerous schools.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like different fighting styles of hacky sack.
I hung out with enough
full contact hacky sack.
I hung out with enough skaters in high school to gather that there are many important styles and distinctions, and like there is a negotiating round. What sort of hacky sack are we playing? Like, there's also the pothead hacky sack, which is like we're kicking an object because
I wrongly assumed that was the only iteration of hacky sack.
I mean, and to be clear, potheads can be competitive.
Sure.
So you can have a mix. That's where true harmony is found.
I think it's one of those sports where, like, there are no rules, and there's actually 37 unwritten rules that everybody's super passive aggressive about.
Mm. Right.
Right. That's why I'm not an anarchist, because that's what anarchy is, right? Like, yeah, man, anarchy, everybody just takes care of everybody. It's like Burning Man. There's actually 3,000 different rules you have to follow, right?
Think about it like this. Football, the most complicated sport in the world. We spend hours watching it, and we understand like 0.01% of it. Or football can be throwing a ball back and forth.
Sure. Right? Yeah. Yeah, 500 is football.
Thank you for putting the headline 8 stabbed in ultimate frisbee fracas in my head, Ryan. Thank you. Go stay away from the ultimate course, man.
No, now ultimate, if you told me that devolved into some like rules fighting, I'd be like, yeah, ultimate is frequently just like people who decided they shouldn't play rugby because they can't control themselves.
Oh, that's absolutely my brother.
But hacky sack is more like, yeah, I don't know. I thought billiards was too fast paced. I decided I needed something a little more chill.
I think the other thing with hacky sack is you get people who like identify as chill.
Yeah.
And people always don't understand themselves very well. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You got people who like really advertise and broadcast their chillness, and like, I'm so laid back, and it's revealed that they're not.
Okay.
Yeah. If you follow my rules for declarative humanity, that means that they're actually the most violent person in the world, right? Like, you know, people just say I'm a free spirit, I'm easygoing, I'm freewheeling. That means that person is the biggest control freak you've ever met.
Well, see, and that actually tracks. It sounds funny, but that actually tracks into common sense, because why would you feel the need to state over and over again in a lot of these imagined cases that you are chill unless there had been an argument made against that in some point? You for some reason in your past, you feel the need for your present self to state over again how chill you are. Something's up there.
I do not have a knife. I am extremely chill.
The chillest thing is to not.
I've never claimed to be chill.
The chillest thing is to not play hacky sack.
Oh,
and to not even own a hacky sack ball. To do nothing.
Because it involves
prank caller
and stuff.
Prank caller. Right.
Yeah, right. Just to play sack. Just sack out. Just sit there. Yeah, lay here in a
circle. Don't say that. I don't want you to say that anymore.
Sack.
Hey, kids, we're going to play sack.
To notice the resplendent light on Jason right now.
Yeah, it's magic hour.
He's like
on
a cat in a sunbeam.
It's early in the morning, the sunrise comes in over here, and it's like, oh shit, this is too bright. And now this time of day, luckily it's cloudy, or I'd be blinded. Let's see here. From I'm a pumpkin doctor. You can find it. Whomst, you can find it, JCDPB on Twitter.com. My brother and I argued in line at Kroger about whether Shiner Holiday Cheer tasted like Christmas because we couldn't agree on a definition for what Christmas tasted like. Now, per the rules of the assignment, I'm going to assume this means Pumpkin Doctor and brother then physically fought in Kroger over this. So we will assume.
I allowed this in because the premise was so funny.
Yeah. Well,
this was not listed, but I allowed it on that reason.
I'm just going to assume a fight took place. It's Kroger.
Yeah.
We're
going to assume
somewhere.
The best of you guys, because you should fight over this.
Yeah, if this were a
Publix... Literal wars have been fought over this.
If this were a Publix, you wouldn't fight it. If this were an HEB in Texas, they have established procedures for that in Texas, right? Like, all right, fellas, yo, take this rootin' tootin' argument out into the parking lot. That's happened before. But if it's Kroger, they're going to let you do anything. They'll let you strangle each other.
Oh, yeah, they're like, don't splash blood on the magazines. We can't resell them.
Except Blood Magazine.
We could
that
some
of
them if we take into Food Lion.
We just got that Prepper Quarterly in. Don't get blood on it.
No, that's valuable with blood. That, like, blood
oh, yeah,
has
actually,
iron
yeah.
in it. You need that. You can sell it. You can you
also
do
it's just,
it's DNA and stuff. And it's
I
just
want to say something controversial.
Yeah?
I don't think anything should taste like Christmas, because when I think about Christmas, I think about, like, pine trees. And if I want gin, I will just drink gin.
So I would argue, if we're going historical with it, the most Christmas flavor you could get would be the old beef tray. That sounds like sleeping in a manger to me. Like, that's Christmas as hell.
You know, what is it if not a beef tray?
An old beef tray, that's right.
Our Lord was born in a beef tray.
And
Jesus
listen,
is old beef.
And then the Romans roasted him for it.
And what did he come here to resolve? Beef. Old beef,
old
in fact.
Beef.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Roman Empire itself was the old beef.
Yeah.
And I'll leave you sleeping like baby Jesus in that old beef tray if you eat that beef tray around me on principle.
Oh, Todd, he looks like a little angel. Just baby Jesus in a beef tray.
I would like to redo the Last Supper where he breaks the bread, but then he passes the beef tray. It's sort of more
to
of like
dip,
a Philly
what, dipping?
A Philly Last Supper at this point.
Oh my God, Bethlehem.
Eat it,
off-ramps
eat it
are
you
for
stupid
quitters.
Ass.
I
also
would like
at the Nativity was a stupid ass. There was a donkey
shit.
Right there, and it didn't talk unlike other
it's
donkeys.
Not tiny though.
oh man, I want to go to the Schwarzenegger Christmas pageant.
Ooh, boy, talk about a problematic Christmas pageant.
Oh, the Kennedys aren't invited.
Why are there so many butts involved?
Why aren't you giving the baby wine?
This baby is very strong. Extremely developed. Riding a muscular tiny donkey.
No, I was just thinking he would make the angel, like, suspend themselves from the ceiling, just, like, doing a rope climb the entire time.
One thing,
is there
friend,
an angel in the Nativity pageant?
I don't know. I don't know God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Talks to the Magi, right?
All the shepherds would have to strip because robes conteal swoleness.
The angel is the one who knocked up Mary.
Oh, that's right.
Friend of the program, John, actually saw it recently in California.
During the play.
He was in Santa Monica, and he saw Arnold rides his bike every day on the beach in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And
he's got one of those, like, fat tire bikes.
He does, right? And he saw Arnold on his morning ride. And I was like, how did you not just run after him going like, ah! I would instantly begin chasing him, hollering all sorts of Arnold things at him. It would be irresistible.
And people say you're difficult to work with.
Yeah, blow out his earphones.
Yeah, see? I would like to share one from user Terminal Fatigue. It is brief, to the point, and stunning. Witnessed a brawl in the front row of a They Might Be Giants show.
Once again, I feel like the collection of people here should exclude fighting.
No, you know what this was? One was going, Istanbul! The other one, Constantinople!
The fucking Crusades are happening.
Got your Turkish delight right here, pal.
We got the
Put
damn Byzantines and Romans warring in the mosh pit at the They Might Be Giants show. Maybe the problem was they were literally giants. They saw giants.
Put a birdhouse
they
in your
are
soul,
giants.
Buddy.
You're going to be Particle Man by the time I'm through with you.
Try not Triangle Man does hate particles. It was written. They had a fight.
Mm-hmm. If Particle Man, there's Particle Man. Where is he? Where is he? And he looks over and he says, oh, shit. The dude from Silent Hill, Triangle Man.
Going birdhouse on your ass.
Is this the silliest band to have a fight at their concert?
It's up there.
Raffy?
Gosh.
It's way up
there. Nah, because Raffy's right? got kids, and kids will fight over almost anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're like an adult fighting at the Raffy concert, yeah, you fucked up. Something happened.
I would say Yanni, but Yanni just implies adultery.
Sure. Yeah.
Not no, Weird Al. He's got songs about fighting.
Right.
Yeah, no, that might kick off in the pit at a Weird Al show.
I mean, you just play like Weasel Stomping Day, and it's going off.
Yeah, that could get pretty rowdy.
I very much like it being canon that every concert has a pit.
Yeah, yeah, every concert.
What?
Dina, honest to God, the way her Vegas shows have been going, you know who could really use one is Celine Dion. I would jump in there without question.
So sure. It's Celine. This is fantastic. I'm doing the fighting. She would also, like, if I could go, which diva grade singer would totally give death metal a 110% committed run for an entire song, it would be Celine Dion. She would. Like, she would crank it. Like, she would open her mouth and you'd hear.
That's a terrifying noise. I'm going to flip over to another concert tale from Mark Parker at Parker 45. Now, once again, I am assuming fisticuffs here, and I am assuming fisticuffs because it is funny. First fight ever for me and future wife was at the Farm Aid concert, and it was because she left to get a corn dog and didn't come back with one for me. In my head, these two decided to settle it in the octagon, emerged with a mutual respect, and then decided to get married.
Yeah. They didn't even know each other before this.
I just want to carefully frame this so it is not an endorsement of partner violence, but two adults coming together to settle a serious crime in, you know, in one of the old ways. Like, because they're married, I assume that she kicked his ass at least a little.
Corn dog fight. Is it a fight over the corn dog or the principal? And which one is stupider? But the principal is less than a corn dog.
The stupidest possible thing would be calling it a corny dog, which is what they call it at the Texas State Fair.
Ew.
Yeah.
Is it different in some meaningful way?
No, it's a corn dog. But they call it corny dogs because, like every state fair claims that every food was invented at said state fair, and no state fair is bigger.
Texas has a stronger claim to this than most of
them. The Texas State Fair, right? The Texas State Fair has invented every kind of absolute garbage, grease fire food. All of them invented at the Texas State Fair, allegedly. And the guy who did it marketed his version of the corn dog, which I'm sure existed for 50 years prior, as a corny dog. To which, to me, if I had a time machine, instead of going back and helping humanity, I would go back and punch people in the face, like this guy. It's like, no, I would call it a corny dog.
Just find something to hit him with.
The U.S. the patent for the corn dog was filed in 1927 and granted in 1929 for a combined dipping.
It took 2 years for them to decide.
listen.
Research, testing.
Send us more corn dogs. We haven't yet decided yet.
Was there a government guy in a bowler who looked like William Taft who was like, I must sample these?
Here is a segment of the patent. I have discovered that articles of food, such, for instance, as wieners, boiled ham, hard-boiled eggs, cheese, sliced peaches, pineapples, bananas, and like fruit, and cherries, dates, figs, strawberries, etc., when impaled on sticks and dipped in batter, which includes in its ingredients a self-rising flour, and then deep-fried in a vegetable oil, the resultant food product on a stick for a handle is a clean, wholesome, and tasty refreshment. No.
Wholesome. Yes.
It is neither clean nor wholesome. Tasty is up. Listen, I can only conclude that the holder of this patent was the very hungry caterpillar based on the amount of shit that they put in.
At first he fried one plum, then he fried one peach, then he fried
two hot dogs.
Listen, on page Eric 4, Carl the very hungry caterpillar has a heart attack.
Then he fried Big Tex.
Eric Carl, but I feel like he would really like where we're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I set Big Tex on fire. Correct, Jason.
Spencer, go right ahead.
I want to go ahead and go to Bad Rooster Fly, a.k.a. Chance, which is argument lasted this day between myself and a few of my fraternity brothers over whether or not our friend could defeat a mountain lion in hand-to-hand combat.
See why you picked this one.
Mm-hmm. The statement, "I could definitely bench more than a mountain lion," was made at one point in complete sincerity.
Bench? No shit.
So let's unpack. Let's unpack.
This is the assumption that fighting is about benching. What the fuck?
First of all, the idea of a mountain lion being like, "Yeah, bro, it's chest day. Hold on. Look at these claws on the floor.
Spot me. Spot me."
The idea of a cat lying on its back on a bench,
wrapping its paws around the bar.
First of all, everybody knows that mountain lions prefer inclined bench. Everybody knows that.
You see, incline's actually better for you, Ryan. I can explain to you about the angle, but you see, flat bench is not actually good for pectoral development, because what you want is that shelf across the top, right?
Obviously, like, you know, a mountain power, maybe lion the bench, prefers an incline.
That's
mountain.
Right. That's right.
Yeah,
the salmon pull-up?
Yeah, they're doing the salmon pull-ups.
That's how they prepare themselves to, like, fling themselves out of trees at their prey.
Just seeing a mountain lion on the bench and some dude over it going, "Quit arching, bitch. Quit arching." That's no.
Yeah, that's what started the fight.
Quit that powerlifting shit.
Man, I feel like we hear a lot of these arguments and not enough about whether or not anybody decides to find out.
I have a link from Outside Magazine, how a man killed a mountain lion with his bare hands.
Team mountain lion.
Was this the small one?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because it was. All right, so there was a guy who
was... You killed a baby mountain lion.
It was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, younger than a year old. That's fucked up.
Yeah, and it was like starving. It was, yeah, it was kind of
never even been to the gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, he was still on push. He was still on body weight. He wasn't even through his first cycle of starting strength.
Mountain lion just pushed the bar. No weights. And you're out here bragging about defeating it.
No, he's not. That is not the case that I think is actually the impressive, "I kicked a mountain lion's ass."
I knew
ass.
This was going to derail us, and I'm so happy it is.
All right. 2007.
Yeah.
California. In the Prairie Creek Redwoods at the tail end of a 10-mile hike.
When the Pac-12 still mattered.
When the Pac-10 still mattered.
Sorry. Apologies.
When was that?
The lion pounced on Jim Ham at the tail end of the hike.
Jim Ham?
Jim Ham.
Jim spell.
H-A-M-M.
G-Y-M.
But G-E-M-H-A-M.
The mountain lion sitting there in, like, large predator court going, "The man's name was Ham! How could I not?" So he was attacked. The 70-year-old man was pinned down, face down on the trail. Nell Ham, his wife, screamed at the lion, grabbed a branch.
What's her name?
Nell Ham.
Nell,
will you make me the happiest ham man?
Nellum. She started beating the crap out of the mountain lion with the stick. That did nothing. And she grabbed a pen from her husband's pocket and stabbed the mountain lion in the goddamn eye.
Baba Yaga.
And broke it off. Odin. Yeah. And Odin then she picked lions. Up the branch again, slammed it into his face. The animal stepped back and...
Looking badass.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, looking bad with the pen. Looking good, bro.
Now with a rakish piratical charm.
He's like, how am I going to bench with this pen in my eye? I'm going to miss
Fuck, I'm never going to be a pilot now. Fuck!
Yeah.
I guess I'm going into bodybuilding instead. Those are the two jobs.
That's it. Gonna go
That's all they let mountain lions do these days.
Going to be a mountain lion pirate. My little eye patch.
Pirate and, or pilot, that's it.
Yeah, so Nell Ham managed to fend off a mountain lion with nothing more than a stick and a pen that she jabbed into the goddamn eye of a large mountain lion.
Mom, why do you always carry all that shit in your purse? I hope she points to this article from now until the end of time.
That's right.
I kind of hope that y'all are eaten by mountain lions. Sorry.
Who is the y'all here?
I guess we'll find out.
Okay.
Let's continue.
Who's next?
I think it's my turn.
I think it's Ryan.
I am going to go to this one from Roy Donk at Big Ol' Mud Pie. St. Louis.
Respect, Roy.
It only gets dirtier. St. Louis 2014. The Rams were 3-6 and last in the division. I was outside a bar waiting on my Uber where I saw a guy drunkenly berate his buddy for not believing that they'd make the playoffs. By the time my ride arrived, they were beating the stuffing out of each other on the curb.
St. Louis Rams 2014.
Yeah.
The Rams failed. It will shock you who coached this team.
Jeff Fisher.
Not one of his better years. 6-10, finished last in the division. Aaron Donald was on that team, though, so that's fun.
I just feel older than God, because what do you mean Aaron Donald was in the league in 2014?
So it looks like from that point on, after the fight, they went 3-4. So.
Oh, wow, you guys made it worse.
Not inspired, yeah. I'm trying to, so this is, if this would have been what week for them? Week 9?
This was November
2nd?
Ish.
Okay, so it's either after they beat the 49ers, which beating up your friend after your team wins is truly demented, or after they lost the next week to the Cardinals, which
yeah, it was after the 31-14 loss to the Cardinals.
I would like to remind you that the Rams only stayed in St. Louis for one more year after that.
Yeah,
they had to get away from these guys.
Yeah.
This is just like, you don't believe in our bad team is such a specific reason. Like, what a reason to have to defend the honor of the 3-6 St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, this was a pretty bad team. They'd been blown out a few times, and all their wins were by one score each at that point. So,
who's the quarterback at this point on the Rams?
It's Bradford, isn't it?
Is it? Well, I don't know if he's hurt. That's why I'm asking.
He's probably the quarterback.
No, he was hurt.
For a game or two. He was injured in preseason, so the quarterback would have been either Austin Davis or Sean Hill.
Sean Hill, yeah.
So somebody beat up another person who dared to suggest that Sean Hill would not lead. Okay. I just want to make sure we all understand.
An undrafted Maryland quarterback.
That's fucking great.
Playing for Jeff Fisher on the Rams.
That's fucking wonderful.
God, now God. I'm just sad.
I can make you feel better.
Please do.
Not confident, but go ahead.
This anecdote from, oh boy, Leo the Giant Slore.
You could just read his at.
Yeah, at the real Tony Leo.
God, I hope so.
The guys next door to me in the barracks. Yes. Yes. Fought over a ham sandwich.
Yes.
They fought through the bathroom and into my room, then out of the hallway.
They old boyed this.
They totally, they fought like the Girl Scouts in Airplane. Like they are all over the bar.
Daredevil fight scene. The hallway fight scene. One of them holding the sandwich.
I was thinking of Blazing Saddles specifically, but
I'm picturing one of them has the sandwich and like whoever is winning the fight at that moment possesses the sandwich, but it's being ripped from hand to hand. I don't know if it's funnier if it's tearing to pieces or if it's not.
It's better. It started when one guy was about to take a bite out of his sandwich, and his roommate slapped it out of his hands. I just see like diving across the room, like So this fight started in the bathroom, which I really want to believe that the ham sandwich.
They said through the bathroom.
The bathroom.
I'm
okay,
this is like bedrooms or barracks connected by a communal bathroom. Yeah.
So this might have been from their room through the bathroom into the next room and then into the hallway over a ham sandwich.
Now, this doesn't say these are Marines, but worry, folks. We have a Marine story coming up. I mean, it doesn't say whether these were Marines. I have my suspicions.
I could see the guys next door. The bathroom would be next door. So that would mean the fight.
Oh, so this went
that would
even
indicate
further.
The fight started in the bathroom because the bathroom would be next door.
Oh, I thought they meant that they that they transitioned through the bathroom en route to his room.
This is like the weirdest game of Clue ever. I think that would be a logical
reading. I think that would be a very logical reading, but if you take it very literally, the guys were next door, and the next door would be the bathroom. So one of these fellows was eating a ham sandwich in a bathroom, and
I know, I was trying
any, right-thinking person that. Would...
Ryan,
would...
wouldn't it be fucked up if this guy's name was Colonel Mustard?
Oh, how much shit would you take if your actual name was Colonel Mustard? That would suck so bad.
None, ever.
The thing is...
That's where, like, the Percy Harvin rule comes in. You don't fight the dude named Colonel Mustard if he's made it to Colonel in the army with a last name of Mustard.
Mm-mm. Well, also,
I thought this was going to be a catch-22 thing where he has the rank of Colonel, but also his literal name is Colonel Mustard.
Or he's Sergeant yeah. Colonel. Sergeant Colonel Mustard.
You don't fight Colonel Mustard because he might kill you with a candlestick in a library.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about slapping a ham sandwich out of somebody's hands. You either have to have a very good reason for doing it, like it's poisoned or it's, like... a religious relic of great value and worth, or you have to have no reason. Like, there's no like medium range here where it's like, well, I kind of had a reason. It's either I was fucking with you or this is the reincarnated Christ and I didn't want you to eat him.
The second one is by far my personal preference.
Yeah.
I mean, the no reason at all one.
Well, it's already established that Jesus is beef, not so.
Sure.
Yeah,
sorry.
It can't happen.
Sorry.
Let's see here. From Sparkles, Robbie Sparkles, Left Witch Sparkles. I assume those are emojis, but that's how it appears in spreadsheet.
Nope,
just reading the card. Saw a near fist fight over whether a particular Star Wars novel. I wish I remembered which one. Probably one of the original Thrawn trilogy. I'm gonna guess you're probably right, Robbie. Was considered quote unquote literature.
Yes. All right. Discuss.
And if it's Thrawn, I think everyone on the internet will say, well yeah, of course. So
I
feel like the internet is with you on this one.
Like, it's one thing when we do this shit on Twitter, because everything we do on Twitter is a waste of time to begin with. And it's just like, it's only trained us to have bad opinions and fight over them. But to actually do this in real life is just like,
hey buddy, I was born to have bad opinions and fight over them.
Go balls.
I love the status we give to the word literature. That just means,
yeah.
Books,
yeah, there's
that
all kinds
teachers
of bad
like.
Literature.
Yeah, is that like, yeah, does that just mean like things I have to read slowly? Is
it,
that
I
all?
Mean, it just means books you buy and then set somewhere.
How rich do you think you'd have to be to get like a Thrawn book put on like the AP Lit exam?
Not like, that rich. I bet the amount of money
really?
Would disappoint. I bet it would disappoint you. Yeah.
No, I think it's a goal. That's why I'm more interested in it.
Let's do
is
it.
Is this
yeah.
why we're going to take over school boards?
This... Honestly, school boards could do a lot worse.
This is one of the less destructive ideas we've had.
That's what I'm saying. This is how we're going to sort of gum up the works.
Yeah.
With our shutdown full pack.
I'm just going to make an energy drink empire. And then I'm going to write a series of Star Wars novels where they all drink the energy drinks.
Are
constantly.
They licensed?
No. Okay. And then I'm going to get the Tennessee school board. I'm going to go to Tennessee and I'm going to pay off everybody, right?
Sure. Yep.
And I'm going to get a Tennessee school board to approve my energy drink endorsement plan. Right? Like, these books are just huge ads. It'll be like Obi-Wan pulled out his lightsaber and took a swig of his, you know, antsy boy energy drink.
Thrawndo.
Right?
We're calling it Thrawndo.
Thrawndo. Yeah, he took an enormous swig of his Thrawndo energy drink and was like, ah, with the power of Thrawndo, I will defeat the dark side. I will read these slowly in this
going,
exact fashion
going,
at these
going.
School board meetings.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And I will pay all of them pitiful sum of money, right? These people could be bought off with like $70. They'd be like, I think it's a good idea to put Thrawndo in there. The Battle of Thrawndo, Volume 2 in the Thrawndo trilogy, I think it needs to go into our schools.
Yep.
So Obi-Wan
Amazing
receives his mental
Williams
boost.
County accent.
And
thank you.
I think, so like in the 90s, I think you literally could have done this and it wouldn't have been difficult at all because like George Lucas really likes money. Now it's going to be more of a challenge.
Because of Disney, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the
what
angle
about
here
Babylon
is just
5?
Straight up,
can we do that?
Well, there's that.
Yes. We'll just call it Babylon 6.
I was going to say, just straight up call it Star Wars literature right up top.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then they feel bad for telling you to knock it off.
A parody. It's a parody.
All right.
Parody account.
I'm going to take this ramp of both novelizations and pick up the thread of the military and go over to Benji the Kid at Benji SC30. Oh, boys. The Marines are back. What's Jonesy going to stick his dick in this time? In Iraq with the Marine Corps. Two guys got into a... Now, give me a second when I finish this, okay? Because I have a theory. Two guys got into a fight over who got to read the book Lone Survivor first. Now, if you don't know what book I'm talking about, go ahead and look this up. We will wait. But in my head, this is not the original book. This is a novelization of the Mark Wahlberg movie that they made out of the book.
Literature.
Yeah. That's literature.
Oh my God.
So there's one copy?
I have no further. It's called Lone Survivor.
Yeah. So there's a lone copy of Lone Survivor, and both of these gentlemen want to be the first to read it.
Yes.
And then I assume they would wish to destroy it so that the other cannot become the Lone Survivor.
Oh, shit. I hadn't thought about that. I don't know if the Lone Survivor book is a how-to manual.
We can't know until you read it, and if you're the second to read it, then it might already be too late.
Oh. Hey, Jason, you've got another literature one in here, don't you?
Do I?
You do, from Prescott Bishop.
Scroll around.
You've got the real good one.
From Wild West WX on Twitter, Prescott Bishop. Classmates at my fundamentalist middle school. All right, here we go. Scream fighting over whether or not Harry Potter was real-life satanic magic. All right.
Let's go.
I know when you went to middle school, Prescott. It was before 9/11. Because after 9/11, these people stopped giving a shit about Harry Potter, and they trained all the energy on people from a certain part of the world. The 90s were nothing but fundies training all this energy on everything in sight because the Cold War had ended, and they were desperate for villains. And they found it in a 11-year-old British boy. And then, just within a couple years, they completely forgot about it. This is funny. I was researching something a few months ago, and Christianity Today, all right? It's like the Time magazine of evangelicals. I was looking through it for references to Harry Potter, so it's funny I was assigned this. And in articles up until 9/11, Harry Potter is described as evil, nefarious. This is a gateway to Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering and all sorts of evil things. 9/11 happens. A year later, movie review of Harry Potter, delightful family fare. So... there you have it.
When you said they were going to blame it all on one 11-year-old British boy, I wanted to jump in and just go, Neville. It was Neville.
Neville Longbottom,
Neville killed the snake.
Typical. No, I don't even mean Neville Longbottom. Okay. I just mean some like...
someone.
Oh, random.
Just a Neville. Yeah. You know, just like Neville from like Bournemouth. Like,
oh,
Neville.
I accept that completely. Yeah.
I am not like deeply steeped in the Harry Potter lore. The magic
you've got
doesn't.
A daughter, just wait.
I know, but the magic doesn't seem interesting enough to be satanic. Like, it's if not. That's all Satan can do, like, I'm not real worried about that battle between good and evil. If he's just I can summon things, but only simple ones.
The idea is, it's a gateway. That's it. These are the same people who are terrified of yoga. Okay.
How do they feel about close-up magic?
They're Christian illusionists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be
like
a Christian.
Like the Arrested Development joke about illusionists. I guarantee you they got that.
Sure.
They got that from youth group ministry.
Sure, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if you Google Christian illusionists right now, page after page after page after page of guys saying, it's not magic, so you can hire us.
Right.
Excellent.
There is like a satanic Hogwarts, but it probably rocks too hard to be discussed.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, these kids have so much fun. Oh my God. They have the sickest outfits. They have the best parties. Dismal academic performance, but nobody cares.
Their skin is so clear. Their hair is bouncy.
It is. It's awesome. It's in Orlando.
It always comes back to hot weather goths with you, doesn't it?
It does. It'd be hot weather goths. It'd be like, yeah, where'd Satanic Hogwarts be? It'd be in someplace dismal and cold, right? Or it'd be in like, in a cave.
No,
you're like, no, Orlando.
Nobody is more committed than hot weather goths. We've established this.
It'd be in Orlando.
So it's UCF.
It's UCF.
UCF is evil Hogwarts.
UCF is evil skate Hogwarts.
Stephen Godfrey's antenna are twitching right now, and he does not know why. He'll be extremely pleased when he finds out.
I just keep making them sound awesome, though, like satanic, yeah. Like the Hail Satan Hogwarts in Orlando.
Skateboard
it's like a
Quidditch.
Big skate park. Do they have Mighty Feast with floating candles? And you're like, nah, it's like a Chipotle kind of arrangement.
They steal things from the mall food court. Fuck you.
It's awesome.
Look at this. It's a cookie cake made for somebody named Brenda. We just ruined her fucking birthday.
You got the, so when you walk into Satanic Hogwarts at UCF, you have to learn which frat you're going to, which is determined by the sorting visor.
They learn Avada Kedavra on, like, day one. That's all they're like, what do you do? Fatal spells, day one. Can you guys, like, can you do things like convert toadstools to tomatoes? No, but we got that killing shit down. We learned that, like, sick, day one. We learned.
Don't say it, bro.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I just watched the Tyson Fury fight. I'm so amped.
Like, I put a piece of my soul in my PlayStation. It's fucking awesome.
My Horcrux is a vape cartridge. I have one more. It's from at Robity. I got sucker punched at a bar by an astonishingly drunk man for taking his hat. He accused me of stealing his hat. I explained we had the same baseball hat and that his was on his head. And he decked me.
Mind your fucking business.
I hope that this man realized that he was wrong and punched the guy anyway.
I hope he. Yeah, I hope he. I think that's what happened. I think
you made me feel. You made me feel bad. Why are you embarrassing me?
You calling me dumb?
This is a you're not the boss of me punch.
Smart Aleck.
I see you eyeing my hat.
Why should you have two hats? That's selfish.
I had this hat first, and then you walk in with it. Because I like
you
I
stole like my hat and put another hat on my head. And you're gonna steal that one too.
You cloned my hat.
It's the Indians' fault too for being on our land when we got there.
Oh my God! I love the commitment here. I just like that he's like, well, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Stick to your guns.
Yeah. I already decided
Finish
to just
the drill.
I already decided I'm punching this guy.
Finish the drill.
I wonder if I have to go from theft to mockery. I just have to be like, well, now you're making fun of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no retract button.
Yeah, it's like a video game animation. You can't stop. It's like, sorry, I'm already punching you. Where are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, this cuts. I can't get out of this punching. Strong punch.
Maybe the theory on the part of the puncher is that these hats were swapped.
Sure.
That's still my hat.
Not catching me in none of your devilish traps.
You know, old Frank, once he starts winding up, like he has the cartoon wind up to the punch, right? Like he's windmilling and he's like, sorry. All right, I got 8 windmills in.
Yep,
9 and 10 are coming.
be ashamed to waste this wind up.